Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. Mr. Derek J. broadcasting from Pod Bay 2 Gay Professional Prisoner Studios. We blast only the highest quality happiness waves out into the atmosphere, surrounding the globe with good vibrations and forcing bad hamsters to surrender. This cools your stool to a tepid and tenacious 25 degrees and keeps a sin flood of straightism out of your brain. Is it working, Jim? Is it working, James? Can you feel it?
It's who?
Working.
Me? Oh, I guess it is working.
Meow.
Worms. Bipcot, no gov license. This show is covered by a special kind of license. You can learn about it. Bipcot.org. Means it's allowed for use and reuse by everyone except government agents.
Yeah.
Worms.
Right on.
So welcome, guys. We have a confusing show tonight because I'm Derek J, but both of you are Jim to me. And so I'm going to need to redub you James and Jim. Can we do that?
Yes.
That sounds good.
All right, ladies. You know, I had a very fancy day at a place called Hampton Beach here in beautiful New Hampshire from whence I broadcast. And it was called Speedo Day. And, you know, this is something the U.S. is ahead in a lot of ways, but it's behind in some. And this is one way that I'm trying to help advance my people, my culture. The Speedo is not popular in America yet. And I think it should get there because it's so much more comfortable. It dries a lot faster. And I think it's more freeing. If you're into freedom, you should love the Speedo. So that's what I was out there doing today. Evangelizing with other
the board shorts be a little
and
bit more free.
But, well, how could board shorts be more free than a Speedo? What is more free?
Things down there are more free.
No,
there's sort of this like clenching grip of
no,
latex.
See,
I don't know what are they made of. What is it?
I think it's latex or something. Yeah, it's something. But
spandex.
Yeah, I guess you're right. No, my point is that with the board shorts, you get a weird tan, which, you know, you don't want that boxy board short tan with all the weird whiteness in your leg. And also, it takes so much longer for them to dry, and it drips down your leg. It's so uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but
why wear anything at all?
That's,
why wear anything at all?
I think that's what we're going towards. That's the real ultimate goal.
It's the next logical step.
Yeah.
That's the end game. It's the end game of Speedos.
So it is
Speedos, and then you have what the Rios, and then you have the thongs, and then it's nothing.
Because it was sort of a precursor event to another activism related celebration.
Activism,
as you call it.
Right.
Yeah. Activism, right. Where it's called Free the Nipple. And the point is that there should be men and women topless equality, that men and women should be equals in this respect, and we're not right now. And
who could argue against that? I don't understand who could argue against it.
Well, apparently there used to be a time in like the 1930s or something when it was not socially acceptable for men to be shirtless on the beach, and men had to fight for this right. And for them to have not included women in that fight kind of shocks me. Like, hey guys, you fought for this for yourselves, but you left out half the population. Could you maybe?
Yeah, or if you had to choose one sex, I would have gone with females first, then and work on it for dudes, right?
Yeah, like, sure.
That's just my own personal preference when I go to the beach, but to each their own.
It's just so titillating. It's offending my delicate sensibilities.
Well, I think it does offend some people, and that's the point of people putting it out there in public and normalizing it, because it is legal here in New Hampshire to be topless for both men and women on the beach, and the police can arrest you for it, but socially, it's just not totally acceptable yet. So I think for it to get there, we need people who have the courage to go out and just do it. So that's what's happening in 2 weeks at Hampton Beach in New Hampshire. There's a whole event, and there are like over 100 people listed as going on Facebook, which, I don't know, that says there's going to be at least 20 people there topless, and that's going to be fun and hopefully freeing for all people.
I fully support
good
that effort. I think
thank
sounds
you.
Good to me.
Thank you. So we're all in Speedos today in memory of those who've lost their freedom.
Next show, we're going to talk about nothing but Speedos, correct?
Yeah, this is the only Speedo-only episode.
Right. Okay, good. No, I've trained hard for this. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Well, Jim, you said that you were dropping off someone at QueerCon today?
Yeah, so there is a event that happens every year in Las Vegas, and it's called DEF CON, and it's for hackers and security analysts and, you know, white hat and black hat hackers alike. And, you know, the point is they get together and they talk about how, you know, vulnerabilities and things, so black hats can get in and white hats can keep the black hats out. And there's like a sub thing that happens, kind of like the big gay dance party for Pork Fest, called QueerCon, which is the LGBT dance party that happens kind of in conjunction with it at the same place. And I had some friends. I had dropped off a transgender woman, two straight guys, and a gay guy off at this little dance party. And I was like, that's just a little bit too much for me. And so I didn't option to attend. But
why?
It was really...
You wouldn't have been the only straight guy. There, you would have been with the majority in that group, right?
I get a little socially awkward when I'm with my Speedo, so I had to.
Yeah, okay. Were they in costumes?
The really scary. Well, they had all kinds of stuff.
So,
oh yeah,
yeah,
of all types. Yeah, there was people in costumes, there was people painted, you name it. They had everything, and just a little bit too much for me. What was really scary, most of all, was not that was going on. It was mostly because I was a little bit afraid of them trying to hack my phone, even while it's off, because, you know, they have fake cell phone towers and Wi-Fi connections that could...
Because they're trying to do that. That's fun for them.
And so I'm told there's like a wall of shame, and everyone's phone who gets hacked, their most embarrassing pictures get put on this giant screen for everyone to see.
Wow. So you went in with some pretty revealing photos of yourself, I imagine.
I took the battery out of my phone,
I would try and make it onto the wall of shame. If I had friends who I knew were there, I mean, it might be kind of cool. Why not share
just
something
take pictures
with those
for the event? I guess.
Yeah. Totally.
Sort of a reverse hack where you use their hack to promote your own message, right? Because they take it and put it up on a board somewhere.
Yeah. I'll show you.
Show some revealing photos of the person organizing the events. Put it on my phone and let them hack it. That would
have been fun. that'd be perfect. Hey, where was this event happening? Where was this?
Sunny Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, sunny. Yeah,
at the Bally's Hotel. Uh-huh. So every time I drive by there for the next couple days, I'm going to take the battery out of my cell phone. I'm not a big fan of the Strip.
You know, I'm moving out west, Jim, and part of it is
you are.
Yep. Part of it is
when was this?
It's very recently. So this is new news, but it's because of the different freedoms. Like, you know, people who know me know I'm in pursuit of freedom, and look at the freedoms that the people have out there to dress all crazy, and I'm sure they aren't looked at any different or weird because they're in Las Vegas, right? Because you could dress any kind of way you want and people think that's normal. Oh yeah, guy dressed like Elvis, yeah, of course, why not? Or you know, cyborg people walking down the street with crazy blue hair, yeah, of course, why not?
Yeah, and if you don't have enough money, we also have Elvis Costello impersonators as well. So the budget Elvis.
That's pretty bad. What about Free the Nipple? Is there topless equality in Las Vegas?
I'm not sure, but I do know that they do have a lot of topless pools, but that's kind of like the... the attraction of that pool versus the other pool or the club pools. And, you know, so you have a choice of different types of pools. You want the topless pools. But from what I hear, it's not very fun. The people who go there aren't particularly people that you want to see with their tops off. But, yeah.
Okay.
To each their own.
All right. Do they have a Speedo pool?
Oh, they're all Speedo pools. There's always at least one person with a Speedo, I guess.
At least one. They should all have Speedos.
At least one.
They should hand them out when you walk in.
Yeah, but, you know, we're trying to achieve this free world, and until then, we just have to settle for board shorts, I guess.
Yeah, there's just not enough freedom there for me. I don't know.
So are you moving to San Francisco? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, there's a lot of freedom out in those places. Free to be you. You know, there was no one who scoffed or said anything bad about Speedo Day here in New Hampshire. There were some people who whistled and made a lot of like compliments, so that was good. But ultimately, I felt bad for all the rest of the people on the beach who were so restrained. All the other guys who, you know, they looked uncomfortable. They have so much more clothing on than all the rest of their counterparts. Everyone else that they're with, all the women, they can be in bikinis and they can be in you know, small bathing suits. But guys, they have to be like totally covered up. From the navel to the knee, just totally restrained. So poor things. You know, it's not easy to play frisbee or climb rocks or even go swimming in that. Like, you have to drag all this material with you. It sticks to your leg.
There's another trend that's really annoying me too, the high waistband that everyone's wearing now that covers their belly button. Like,
oh, you don't like that?
Again,
I like that.
It's like an old man look, like a senior citizen,
old man,
and old lady.
Kind of, it's
more
almost
popular
like
for girls, right?
Granny pants.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm seeing this come back too.
Not a fan.
You don't
belly
you
buttons.
Don't think it
belly button freedom.
It doesn't do a favor.
It's a backlash against the droopy pant movement.
Yeah. All right, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Fiends! Female supporters of the Free the Nipple campaign are planning to sit topless on Hampton Beach in an effort to change public perception of women's breasts. While police are saying it's perfectly legal, at least one Hampton Beach official strongly objects. And so I just felt
on
like
what
this
grounds?
Was interesting.
What is the grounds of objection?
On what grounds? Well, I don't know, because apparently the Facebook page has over 52,000 likes. There's a whole movie that got a bunch of support for this event called Free the Nipple. And the organizers say, really, it's exercising their own rights to go topless. That they have a right. They want to encourage women and men to come out and support them. But the Hampton Beach Village District Marketing Director John Kane, you see, he says he's absolutely against it. He said the district has spent generations and millions of dollars along with the state and the town to make Hampton Beach a, quote, family destination. And he says a Free the Nipple event will set those efforts back. It's going to set Hampton Beach back millions of dollars.
Wait a minute. I guarantee that virtually every kid has seen nipples before.
No.
I almost 100%.
No. We have roughly. To protect them.
What could be more family-oriented than nipples?
I don't know, but it's not. It doesn't make it a family destination. Now they're worried. The families won't come. I don't know. I never see. Whenever there's like nudity or something on the beach, it's never the kids who point it out. It's always like the adults, like, no, hide, shield the child's eyes. Oh my goodness! It's not like the child isn't like, oh, I'm so upset. I'm seeing nudity.
Reach for
like,
eye bleach, quick.
Yeah, it's always the parent who's like overreacting and wants to protect the kid. Like it's okay, everything's fine. Like there are statues, lots of nude statues, and that's fine. But I guess when it's people who are alive, that's when it's not okay. Like you can take your kid to the Louvre. And that's okay, but you can't take them through a nude beach, and that's not acceptable. It's not a family destination. The Louvre is, but beaches where people can be topless are not. I don't know. So who cares about this official? I don't care about him. He can be upset. It's not breaking the law, so he can just, you know, throw his little huff, and everyone will ignore him, and he's the old guard. You know, we don't pay attention to him anymore.
He's going to be gone soon. You know, these guys they're all dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, if I put my little constitutionalist cap on, wouldn't this kind of be a violation of equal protections under the law, since men can go topless, but women can't go topless? Isn't that a thing? Or how, I wonder what's the argument for that or against that?
Yeah.
Are you talking I think the Constitution says if the dude is a C cup or larger, he also has to wear a bra or a shirt of some kind.
Yeah.
Well, so I think that is fair to a certain extent. It's in the Constitution. You can check it.
Our founding fathers guaranteed a free measuring with every bra. So,
well, you know, it's not really widely known, but Alexander Hamilton had very large breasts. It's true. Check it. Seriously, it's, you know, it was well documented in the Federalist Papers.
Okay. Yeah, I think even some of
Ben Franklin couldn't keep his hands off of them.
Yeah, wasn't that one of the campaign strategies that he used while running for his presidential election? He put his assets first.
Oh, those Federalists.
Yeah, but you're talking about magic parchment theory, where, you know, the pieces of paper that our founding fathers wrote down actually mean something today. The official at Hampton Beach, he doesn't think about the Constitution. He doesn't know about that.
Yeah, I want to know what kind of magic spells they're throwing in court to...
They have local magic spells.
To make this... local magic spells.
Yeah, it's not... It just works around Hampton Beach area. You know, it's local to their area. They don't need to consider the Fed. Our federal family...
I put on my Speedo and wizard hat.
Yeah, take off your constitutionalist hat. Put on a Speedo. That'll get your freedom thinking.
Worms.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
What river did they screw up? What are you talking about, Jim? EPA?
EPA seems to have destroyed a river in Colorado.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, government. You're supposed to be looking out. Hey, wait, before we go to the EPA, I want to talk more about Speedos. I think I figured it out. The way to get everyone to wear a Speedo is they should ban it in America. And then everyone will wear one. We'll all have Speedos.
Or how about throughout the South, we distribute Confederate flag Speedos?
They'll become the hottest item. Yeah, no, it's because, so I looked up, like, where is it most acceptable to wear a Speedo? Turns out it's France, but that's not where most people wear them. It's like 13% of men say they actually wear Speedos, but 91% say that it's totally fine for others to don the iconic swimwear. But it's really like South America is where you'll find most Speedo wearing people. But isn't it weird that they're like, yeah, we're totally cool with that, but we don't wear it.
They eat a lot of bread in France. Okay, so. You know, maybe it's just like, yeah, you know, if I was like, you know, one of these like beach dudes in Brazil, sure.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're like eating pasta and bread all day,
it weighs you down.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's going on with the EPA? They're adding extra chemicals to the river to make it extra good.
Yeah. These poor guys, you know, this happened a few days ago, and if most of the headlines didn't say, oh, the EPA did this, but the EPA was messing around, and this mine waste, like a reservoir of mine waste, they like detonated a dike that sent a huge amount of water, 500 gallons per minute, into this river, and it turned it like this, like putrid yellowish orange.
Yay!
There's now 300 times the normal level of like arsenic and lead is at 3,500 times the normal level.
Wow.
Way to go, EPA.
All that extra benefit that I get. 3,500. I hope my taxes don't increase 3,500 times because I'm getting 3,500 times the services now. 3,500 times the arsenic. And how much more of the other stuff?
3,500 times.
That's pretty good.
The amount of lead.
Oh, lead. That's normal. Right. Yeah, good. More lead.
What could go wrong with that, right? It's only what people drink and put on their crops and eat fish. And it's like headed towards New Mexico now. And then to probably our neighbors in Mexico, we're going to enjoy that later. You know?
You're welcome.
Have some U.S. government, Mexico. It's good. It always flows downhill, right? Dang.
Yeah, but they can't get enough.
It's pretty funny when you think about. I mean, I'm not making fun of. I'm not saying this tragedy is funny because it's going to have a horrible impact on people's lives. But what I think's funny is that people look at the federal government as something that could protect the environment. You know, they're like, hey. We really need somebody to protect the environment. What can we do? Hey, how about those guys, you know, they drop nuclear weapons on cities and spray depleted uranium all over the world and have put Agent Orange and napalm all over Asia. Like, what about those guys? Sounds legit.
Yeah, they'll be great.
Or maybe this was an attempt to get people from wearing Speedos on those rivers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely want to cover up.
Yeah, I think there were some topless women there too. They had to get out. This was the only way.
Totally unacceptable.
How soon before they come out and be like, "Well, look, if the EPA wasn't so underfunded, this would never have happened."
Right. I think you've got this all backwards, James. This isn't like a problem or a mistake. This is a feature. The EPA is offering to the environment. Like, you didn't want your river yellow? I mean, why not just ask for a red river next? Why don't we get all the colors of the rainbow?
You know, we set it on fire.
Right. You know, maybe we should have been suspicious when they appointed Paul Krugman as head of the EPA. Look at the stimulus. Boy, there's stimulus all down the West now.
That's the broken river fallacy.
Yeah, Is Krugman really the head of the EPA? You just got me on that.
No.
Is that, okay.
No, of course.
That's a joke.
Well, I don't know. Right. I'm sure they couldn't afford him. I don't know.
I don't know. So I used to work for Greenpeace, and one of the places where I would do some of my fundraising was outside of the EPA office, because I'm like, here's some people who care about the environment, you know? And they would tell me privately that they're all just are banging their heads against the walls in there. There's no one actually working. They just go in there and hurt themselves, because apparently their mandate, like, the EPA is staffed, filled with a bunch of people who actually do care about the environment, but then they all work for people who don't. So their mandates never make any sense. It's like,
I hope they
dump a bunch of arsenic in the
banging your head.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Well, isn't the primary purpose of the EPA to just like stifle competition and help some of the fat cats that are politically connected make a lot of extra profits by, you know, just cracking down on their competitors as needed?
Maybe they are. Maybe this is just a boon for the board short industry. I'm sure that's the case. We need to check their finances.
Board short cartel again.
Yep. Darn you, Quicksilver.
I can't believe I saw there's a Quicksilver store. They're still around. I thought they,
That's still a thing?
Yeah, the Quicksilver is still a thing.
Yee.
They have stores and everything. Pretty
it
weird.
It used to be I couldn't drive down the street without seeing a girl driving around with the Roxy sticker on the back of her car. Now I never see those.
Yeah. I don't even know what that was. Is Roxy another like clothing store?
No, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Quicksilver, but they take the little wave logo that they have, and they put them together, so it makes a little heart with two little mountains.
Oh, isn't that cute? Okay, all right. Yeah. I was confused.
I'm sure you've seen them.
Yeah. No, they don't sell Speedos. I don't know anything about them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe they'll start driving around with Speedo stickers on the back of the car soon.
Yeah. So,
isn't it a swoosh? Can't you make a heart out of it?
I am kind of wondering what the EPA would look like in a free society, if there would be anyone who would be like, we're the crusaders of the environment, and we're here to help. Like, what sort of meddling would an environmentalist organization want to do in a free society?
I think it would just protect private property, right?
Yeah.
You know? And if you wanted to have like a large stretch of wilderness undeveloped, you just buy it up. So
yeah.
It's mine.
So they'd be the like World Conservation Club. So they could like buy up forests and properties that they want to maintain and continue to be nice, but they would actually do a good job instead of dumping a bunch of
arsenic. I mean, imagine if all of these people, I mean, let's face it, everybody loves the environment, right? Nobody's going to say like, screw it. Let's
speak for yourself.
Okay. But what if you said, look, instead of paying federal income tax, would you take some of that money you save and would you, you know, like work with an organization to just buy up wilderness land and protect it? And people would probably be like that. They could probably buy huge amounts of wilderness land that way.
I don't know. Don't people do that already?
They do.
So,
but imagine how much more they could do it if they weren't burdened with this this federal government and state governments that are claiming to be protecting the environment for them, but are really nothing more than like pay to pollute programs for corporate benefactors.
So. I mean, I know the government's incompetent, but I really can't wrap my head around what kind of oops moment this was. That how do you dump toxic waste into a river? That can't be an accident. Like, I don't mean to play conspiracy theorist here, but like, what went wrong?
Especially because your name is Environmental Protection, and you are the one responsible for polluting a river.
I feel like it shouldn't get too close. Like, there shouldn't be a toxic waste dump anywhere near a big river. Like, you should
mine
how
waste.
We bring these two?
Mine waste. I guess it's just part of what happens with mining. So
what are they mining? What are they looking for?
I don't know, probably uranium to make nukes with. I don't know.
So I just feel like whoever was the one mining is the one who should be maybe responsible for this. Who dumped it?
The EPA is responsible. They had safely contained the mine waste in a reservoir. The EPA came along and said, can we blow that up? Yeah, we can.
Well,
governments love blowing stuff up.
you can't exactly blame the mine owners for that. I mean, they were, at least I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't going so well at their mine site or something. They were like, hey, EPA would help us out a little bit if you had an accident. Get rid of that mine for us. I don't know.
Yeah, and
maybe maybe libertarian ISIS should take credit for it now. Be like, and we'll strike again. If our demands aren't met.
Yeah, just privatize the parks. I mean, when was the last time you read the headline that said river around Disneyland's Tom Sawyer Island is now radioactive? I never have.
Although that would be a nice feature as well.
Actually, yeah, those parks out in Nevada probably are radioactive with all the nuclear testing out there, right?
Yeah, I don't think we do nuclear testing anymore. We used to. That used to be a show people used to go to and watch the nuclear bombs go off. And, you could see it from the strip, and that was a huge tourist event for a while. But they kind of stopped doing it, and then they started doing it in the ocean, and then Greenpeace ruined that. We just can't have any fun.
Come for the review show, stay for the fallout.
Stay for the chemotherapy.
Then atom bombs. Wow. What a date night.
So this is kind of stupid, but did people get cancer from watching this? Like these bombs go off? I feel like if I were watching an atom bomb explode, I would get cancer. Or die.
Maybe we should file a class action lawsuit against the state. Let's do it.
Can you do that?
I wish.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Show all the time. Hey, in Australia, Speedos are called budgie smugglers.
Sorry, I'm adjusting my Speedo right now. It's kind of not used to this.
Yes, it's a term which derived from the name of a small parrot. The domestic...
Crikey. Or whatever they say.
Yeah, they say crikey. They do say that. And here's the domestic... Budgiegar. Yeah, so they're budgies. And here's one I didn't know. Speedo is currently the world's largest selling swimwear brand. So this is not a paid advertisement.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't know that. The company was founded in 1914 by hosiery manufacturer Alexander McRae. And the name who cares how the name was? Oh, I see. Okay, it was a slogan. Speed on in your speedos. So it came from a little slogan that they were trying to create.
I guess this is kind of like the Band-Aid thing where we just call anything that's an adhesive bandage a Band-Aid. We call any kind of swimming briefs a Speedo. I think people get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I was saying earlier about how, like, men used to not be allowed to be topless. Here, topless men banned from... This is from facts.randomhistory.com, so you know it's true. Topless men were banned from the beaches of Atlantic City in New Jersey because the city didn't want, quote, gorillas
Chris
on our
Christie
beaches.
Going on the beach topless. It was a prudent judgment at the time.
Well, unfortunately, in 1937, Chris Christie won that right to be shirtless on the beach. And not just wear swimming shorts. Or, no, the right to just wear swimming shorts, apparently. So this was a thing. I heard they used to do this. I've seen photographs of like, cops, the old-style 30s cops on the beaches of New Jersey, out with their tape measures, and they look like nuns. You know how they were like nuns who measure like ladies' shorts and stuff, right, to make sure that their skirts are low enough. Well, this is exactly the same thing. It's the fashion police, literally.
I think the nuns had a yardstick so they can whack them across the knuckles if they were wearing something too short.
Right.
I was recently approached by an authority figure on a beach. But he did not have a ruler. He was not ready to check my bathing suit length, thankfully.
In fact, it was
a close call. I was at this really nice beach, but it's part of a federal park. Okay, uh-oh. So it's like I'm basically homesteading with a group of friends, a little section of beach, far, far away from like the lifeguard and where the buildings are and stuff. I'm far away. But one of my friends, Nicole, was walking sort of past them, and she overheard the conversation they had where they said, there's like one lifeguard, he's like, got his binoculars, okay? And you think he's like scanning the beach, right, looking for drowning victims to save? No, right. he's scanning towards us, and he tells his friend, red solo cups, far end, okay?
Oh, no.
And this guy, so, and now I'm seeing it from my perspective, like way down the beach, here comes this, like, you know, lifeguard dude with his radio and stuff. And he just kind of like, for no reason, like walks up to our site, but there's nothing to see except red solo cups. And then kind of turns around and walks away, you know, dejected.
What did he think he was going to find? There's a whole party out here, you know, we got to destroy
the whole party. I guess he thought
he
might see like a beer can or something that I guess he could call for backup with. I'm just picturing like, what if Baywatch had that episode, you know?
there are kids
running
enjoying themselves.
Running in slow-mo in a
Speedo. Yeah. Yeah, they would slow-mo
Red solo
over.
Cups. Run! And then the montage, you know, with Pamela Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd probably go play some drinking games with the victims, the alleged drowning victims. Or maybe they would go drown each other, drown their sorrows. I don't know. Hey, we're done with Speedos. We've got other topics when we come back.
Worms.
I wanted to, Jim, you said you had something special, right?
Oh yeah!
Sure. Tease a little bit of what it was you were saying you were going to do.
We're going to have some fun with Molyneux.
That's right.
And Joe Rogan, and a cult expert.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon. And Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow, meow. Trigger warning! This is the Freedom Fiends! Yeah, Mr. Derek J. Podbay 2 Gay. Here with Jim and James, and we're bringing it to you through the BIPCOT no-gov license, which you can find at BIPCOT.org. Reuse and use allowed by all except government agents. Welcome back, guys. So
great to be with you, Derek.
Yes. I want to talk about cults. Jim, hook it up.
That's always my favorite topic.
Yeah, why? So, why is that? Were you in a cult?
I was briefly in for a couple days, and I saw the writing on the wall, and I quickly left and got my job back.
What kind of cult was it?
It was a financial cult, a pyramid scheme, multi-level marketing type thing, and I just had to get out as soon as
Did
I
they
saw
have
the
like,
big pyramid.
It's called the GOP.
I saw that they had a big, giant pyramid on their PowerPoint presentation. I got up, walked out. They were like, well, come on back. No. I know what this is. Bye. And then for a while,
it's
I was
just
interested.
The Illuminati meeting you were at. Come on.
Pretty much right. So
don't be scared of the big logo.
Yeah, I was actually going to become a cult X counselor for a while, but then I found out the cults like to kill people like that. So I kind of backed off and found other career opportunities, like doing radio.
You're not afraid.
So yeah, but what was it last year? Freedom Fiends did a show with Greg and Colleen, former Inner Circle members with Stefan Molyneux.
Right.
This was a little bit after Stefan Molyneux showed up on the Joe Rogan podcast and was talking about the DMCA issue with him, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, when he sent a bunch of false DMCAs towards a critic.
Yeah.
And there was a YouTuber who came on and listened to the mirror that I had on my YouTube channel and made a video talking about his experience. And in the comment section, the world's foremost cult expert, Stephen Hassan, who I have two great books by him, talking about cult mind control and how it works, he left a comment saying, it seems that Free Domain Radio is one of these closed cults, and FDR Liberated reported on it.
Wait, what does that mean? What's a closed cult? How's that different from a regular cult?
It's a closed group. It operates with undue influence. It's very exploitative. Uses cult mind control technique, thought reform techniques, and so he FDR Liberated, I guess, posted a thing on their website about it, and I think he saw that and he saw the Joe Rogan interview and got in touch with Joe Rogan, and so I think it was yesterday. Well, about past midnight now in some places. So the day before, he did an interview with Joe Rogan, and they were talking about cult mind control for a while, and about an hour and a half into it, he brought up Stefan Molyneux and how he was on the show, and he was getting people who were ex-members of FDR talking to him, saying that they left because of that interview. And
no
they were
way.
Going into
Wait a minute.
All the
so
reasons
this,
why.
So this guy was actually interviewed by Stefan? Did I hear that correctly? He was
show? He was interviewed by, the Joe Rogan show. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear.
Okay, all right.
He was on the same show.
So then people were messaging
Stefan Molyneux
him.
Was on.
Okay, yeah. I see. I follow.
And he was, and I guess a few people left because of that Joe Rogan interview with Stefan Molyneux. And he was praising him and talking about how Free Domain Radio is a cult, and they were talking about defooing and stuff like that. And it was a fascinating interview. And they went into all the reasons why FDR... why he considers it a cult. And I guess what sparked his interest initially was that he was just hired by someone to get someone out of Free Domain Radio to do cult exit counseling, and I guess he got out. And it was because
they
of
do an
the Freedom Fiends
mission. How does that work?
Well, they don't really do deprogrammings anymore where they kidnap people and do that. They don't do that anymore. Now they just kind of like, oh, you know, we have this friend we want you to talk to. Come and have dinner with us. And he's actually a cult exit counselor or an ex-member of a cult. And they have discussions with him. And they do like these, you know, where they ask him questions and get them to start thinking independently. And he's written some books on this, talking about how to do this for reference for other therapists to do.
Yeah, I want to know. Wait, well, what do they recommend? How do you start thinking independently? You know, how do you even recognize that you're in a cult to begin with?
Well, what they use. Well, what? Oh, okay. So
how do we know Freedom Fiends is in a cult? How do we know Freedom Fiends is in a cult? Could it be?
Oh, we are. We are a cult. We're definitely a cult, but we're a good cult, right?
Yeah. Is it a closed cult?
We got our own terminology.
Yeah.
But there's two different models that people use. It's either the BITE model, which is behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control. And there's different things that you can look for in specific groups where they do certain things.
That would be the Freedom Main Radio model, right?
No. That's the of mind, Stephen Hessen's own way of telling whether or not a group is a cult.
Oh, okay.
And then there's another one that's just like the 8 criteria for thought reform. So there's certain ways you can tell, but you don't want to come out and tell someone, because first thing they're going to do is say, no, I'm not, and they're going to shut you out. They're going to think you're the devil. They're going to think that you're Satan, you're possessed,
you're a
suppressive person, or a status, or, you know, whatever your cult deems the bad critics of your group. And so what they do is they start asking you, like, oh, well, tell me about this. You know, like, did you get, when you got into this, did you think that you were going to get into a group where they were going to do all of your family and stuff like that? And, you know, just questions like that, you know, and get them to start thinking about what it is they wanted when they initially joined the group, and is that what they're getting out of it? Things that don't make sense in the group that you can't really piece together. And, you know, sort of those kind of questions to help them try to start thinking independently again, like, you know what? He did lie on that Rogan podcast, didn't he? And that kind of opens the door to, okay, well, what else, you know, was he not honest about?
Hmm. So you really have you have a bone to pick with Stefan Molyneux. Why?
It's not just with Stefan Molyneux. I think it's any group that uses these kind of deceptive recruiting tactics and
maybe the military
use kind of thought reform. The military does use these techniques. And a lot of cult psychologists will be the first to tell you that, but their excuse is, well, you kind of need that. You need to have some sort of control mechanism to, you know, so when someone says drop on the floor, they drop on the floor so they don't die. So there is some useful point for that. But a lot of these techniques were actually devised in states. The original books on thought control, thought reform, were talking about state government thought reform techniques, mostly with the Korean and the Chinese government.
So does this author explain that? Like, that the origin a lot of these cults model themselves after is actually governments?
Yeah, the first book on this sort of thing was a book called, I think it was called this Psychology or The Psychology of Totalism or something like that. It was Thought Reform and the Psychology of Totalism, and it was about Chinese thought reform and how they were using these techniques. And then when he published the book, some years later, he started getting all these ex-cult members saying, this is exactly what happened to me in the Moonies. This is what happened to me in Scientology. You know, like, and he was, and then even Stephen Hessen contacted him, and he was like, well, you know, you seem to know more about this. Why don't you investigate it? And Stephen Hessen went on to become a licensed mental health professional, got his license, training, all that stuff. And now he's the leading expert on cult thought reform.
Wow. No, that's interesting that you bring up China. So I went to China once, and one of the most shocking experiences there was seeing how many people still love Mao. And I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't this a dictator who, like, killed millions of your people? And, you know, it's in recent memory. It's not even something that was that distant of a past.
It's not like Abraham Lincoln or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there are people still alive who probably remember this great cleansing or whatever they called it, where Mao was killing a bunch of scientists.
Great leap forward.
Yeah. Well, they still sing songs and praise him like he's just the greatest thing. I mean, in Germany, they don't sing songs about Hitler. They're pretty embarrassed that like they were so duped.
Oh, yeah. If they did.
Yeah, but in China, I mean, like talk about brain control or mind control, where that's a successful dictator, where even after you're dead, even after you do all these horrible atrocities, or the record of history has, you know, been written in black and white, and now you still sing the praises of this guy, like, well, yeah, so I mind mean, control
come on,
can
we
be
see
very
the
powerful.
Exact same thing in the United States, right? I mean, maybe not on a slightly different scale. But, I mean, look how many people are lining up to, you know, to worship at the feet of Hillary or Donald Trump or Jeb Bush or Bernie Sanders. Like, it's not like they learned any lesson either.
Yeah, no. But it's different because it would be like people singing the songs of Harry Truman today, you know? We would be like, what is wrong with you?
Don't they do that? I think they do that. I think they...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not as fixated on an individual tyrant. I think maybe that's a key difference. There's no, but the system is still worshipped and adored.
Yeah,
and people still talk about how wonderful it was that those nuclear bombs were dropped.
Oh man.
Yeah, wasn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Didn't we just have a 70-year anniversary of that?
Yeah, Ben Stone and I were talking about this today. This is my second show today.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay. It's a fascinating subject, the whole cult thought reform and how it works and how therapists, you kind of sidestep those techniques in order to try to get some information across to people who are in cults. And Joe Rogan just had a podcast with Stephen Hassan, and it is a fantastic interview. And, you know, Joe Rogan was, you know, kind of hard on the questions like he was with Molyneux too, so it's not just one-sided. And they go into Molyneux and how he uses these techniques and all that stuff, and it was one of the best things I've seen on YouTube in quite a while. You know, YouTube's been kind of dead for me for a while, so
why
that was interesting.
What's the issue? I mean, why not be in a cult? What's wrong with that?
Well,
why are they bad?
It's all about being able. Well, it depends on the group. I mean, if you're in a group that, you know, it's beneficial, and there are sometimes people who join cults, and a therapist will go in and see the family and say, like, well, it looks like he's better off in the cult.
Yeah.
But in other times, it could be abusive, physically, financially, mentally, even sexually. It's not always good.
Like, I kind of think of AA as a cult, but it's a voluntary cult. Like, you can leave.
Let's try to start one of these things. They seem profitable.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow, meow. One of us.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
So this is a cult.
Oh yeah, we're a benign cult.
Okay. It's a better cult than that other cult.
It's not profitable, though. We have to get... maybe it is. Maybe I just am not...
You're just not in on the profits.
Not in on that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So this cult has profits?
I don't know. Only dear leader would know for sure.
Would know what?
Who's the prophet?
How profitable the Freedom Fiend cult is.
All right, this is the Fiend Furries, or Fiend Phone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System. I heard you guys getting ready to... I had to jump in here to... I could just feel it. You guys were going to bash AA and the cult of AA. And my life was saved by the cult of AA. I'm no longer a member. I've transcended it. But I'm jumping in here to defend it because you guys don't know what you're talking about. I can tell.
I just said that AA is a cult, but it's a voluntary cult. You can leave anytime.
No, that's true. That's true.
So?
But then James said something like, well, I think there's a lot of money made in that kind of stuff. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to come in here and slap you guys around. I'm going to member slap you guys. Hey. Do I sound a little better than I've usually sounded lately, like when I've been dying on an asthma on this show and stuff?
Yeah, you do.
Hey, you sound great.
I think I'm on the mend, man.
Yeah.
So, is it a Speedo?
No.
It's the latest hobo lung. It's working.
It's the weirdest thing. It's what's that?
I have no idea.
Random car.
Your lung?
That was the cops going. That was the lung delivery truck coming up to James. Yeah. So, James, are you getting contacted by the government there?
they just buzzed me with a F-14. That's all.
Okay.
It's fine.
It sounded like... Because I know you're the only one in your car. I'm hearing car noises. So, here's the thing. Like, you know, I smoked for like 30 years, like 2 packs a day average, and that's 60 pack years. You realize that's like enough to give most people lung cancer, and I did not get lung cancer. I survived it. And I'm asthmatic, and I'm allergic to smoke, so I quit. And then I vaped for like 3 years, and there's people who are mad at me for saying like vaping did anything to harm me, but I know it did something to harm me. It was like, you know, it was better than smoking, but it was inhaling goop into my lungs. Yeah, because people associate it with like, liberty. Like, if you don't love vaping and think it helps cell growth, you're part of the government, you know. But no, it's your lungs are made to bring in clean air and give out carbon dioxide. Anything else that you put in them is not good for them. So January, I started like having horrible problems, and I started seeing a doctor regularly around a couple months after that when I got health insurance. And I've been seeing doctors like every week, and they've just been like piling on all these drugs, and the drugs sort of help a little bit, but not really that much. And here's what happened. Like, finally, like, my doctor said, well, you should be better by now. You know, you should have this manageable asthma, and we should be able to like just deal with the little flare ups here and there, but you're still kind of in emergency situation 8 months later. So what she said I had to do was like start eliminating things, like, you know, like change my fabric softener, and, you know, change my, you know, like, nobody can, like, my wife can't wear perfume anymore. Like, we had to just, the path got more and more narrow. And then I started doing food stuff, like even foods I'm not allergic to. Like, I had all the allergy tests. I'm not allergic to milk, but I cut out milk for a week. I was thinking, well, maybe it's the hormones in the milk or something. It wasn't that. I cut out nuts for a week. It wasn't that. I was allergic to some nuts, but not to others. But like, here's what it is, man. I cut out, I've been off coffee for 5 days now. I'm taking caffeine pills. But it's like, I'm not allergic to coffee, but I think it's like the pesticides in the Walmart coffee or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, like 4 or 5 days off coffee, like 2 days off it, I was feeling better and stronger.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I might
be
able
to get... Is it worth it, though? Is it worth it?
Yeah, because caffeine pills are cheap and freely available on Amazon.
You get no dose as well, right? That's caffeine.
Yeah. Caffeine pills.
How do they compare to a cup of coffee? Are you having more caffeine than you normally would?
No, I'm doing it normally, but it's kind of more of a jolt. It's like more at once, and then it fades out more. But, you know, and I'm having a couple sodas.
But you're not supposed to snort them.
No, I'm not. I'm sticking on my butt.
Can you say it on radio? Yeah, the kids are asleep, man.
Colloidal caffeine.
All right, let's come back and talk about AA and cults. And Molyneux. Molly Pew. So, I'm not positive I'm better. I don't want to jinx it, but just want to say.
We'll get fresh hobo lungs ready just in case.
Cool, thank you.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
So, Derek J., are we going to talk about AA and how cool it is, or are we going to talk about the gay bars of San Francisco that you went to?
I'd rather talk about gay bars, but, you know, just to wrap up the AA thing, I think it's
Let's wrap up the cult thing, because we can bring it up.
You know? I think AA is great. I know a lot of people who it's helped. I don't know anyone who's like, AA was scary and horrible, and they hurt me. It's something that people can totally leave if they want to, and a lot of people have been helped by it. It doesn't work for everybody, but whatever. No big deal. It's harmless.
I mean, Jim. Jim.
Yeah, my problem with AA is it kind of presents itself as the only solution, and I have a problem with them saying that alcoholism is a disease when it actually doesn't meet the classification of a disease. But the real problem that I have with
it. I don't have a problem with the disease model. I have a problem with the allergy model. And you know that's also for the AA thing, right? Like some doctor in the 30s, like they actually say, like, well, you know, it's not like you're condemned for life. Just picture, like, if you're allergic to strawberries. There are people who, if they eat one strawberry, they'll die. They don't have a horrible life. They just have to avoid strawberries. But they kind of take it further than that in the book. Like, they basically, over and over and over, call it an allergy. And as someone who suffers from life-threatening allergies and is a recovering alcoholic, there's a big difference, man.
You're not going to take an EpiPen to the bar with you,
right? I carry an EpiPen everywhere, and I'm going to, you know, if my throat closes up, I'm going to stick myself with it, but I'm not going to stick myself with it if I relapse and have some booze. It probably would not. Actually, you know, I've heard of people mixing albuterol, which is the thing that's in the rescue inhalers for asthma. I've heard people, like, mixing that with, like, crack or pot to, like, make it open your lungs up more. Like, people without asthma, like, abuse it to get more of the drug into their lungs.
My only real problem with AA, the main problem that I have with it, is that it's government mandated. If it wasn't government mandated, I wouldn't have.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's a bogus claim, because it's really not. I mean, that's like saying, I mean, I'm trying to think of the analogy. It's like, The problem is that there are people who run meetings who sign the court slips for people who are court-ordered. I'd never sign them. And the meeting I started, Lust for Life, the NA meeting I started in San Francisco, did not sign them. And some meetings won't sign them. But the thing is, I would just tell people, well, you know, you can sign them anyway and they won't know. You can sign them yourself, man. They don't check. They don't have a list of, like, all the handwriting samples of all the secretaries of all the meetings.
Wow.
So there.
What did anyone do it?
Yeah. Right. I used to do it.
Cool.
I wasn't court ordered, but I went to the Haight-Ashbury Detox Clinic outpatient three times. The third time I went there, I got clean and stayed clean. And it's they require attending outside meetings. And the first two times I faked it, and the third time I actually went to meetings and stayed sober.
Hmm. Right, yeah, on.
I got 21 years clean and sober now.
I'm glad it helped you. Hey, speaking of Haight-Ashbury, I was just there dancing in a Speedo.
I know. You were like, you thought it was all cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, well, I thought it was so cool. I think, like, everyone so should weak, go there. Man. No.
It's like 50 years out of date, man. It's a tourist trap.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, no. Haight-Ashbury specifically, that neighborhood, I guess.
Is filthy.
Yeah.
It's filthy.
Is kind of a tourist trap. That's where the Grateful Dead and filthy. People lived. And there's still a lot of remnants of that.
It's an open sewer. But it's an open sewer of sin and depravity.
But what about the Castro, which is a neighborhood, you know, of lots of gay fellows. They have clubs there. You know, they're packed.
That Bank of America at across the street from the Glass Coffin,
yeah.
The Bank of America there at Castro and Market.
Yeah.
My friend Little Mike one time was out drinking, and he was like, he was drinking in public, but he was like not throwing it. He was carrying his empties with him in the container, like in the six pack.
Not being a litter bug. That's nice.
Yeah, and he was looking for somewhere to recycle them. You know, he's going to bring them home. And
that is so California.
It is, and like, and then he got really, really drunk. This is like 30 years ago, and he got really drunk. And when he walked by the bank, that bank has like giant gold tinted curved windows in front of it, and he just winged the whole empty six pack of glass bottles through that window and smashed it, and two gay guys like grabbed him and like called the cops and detained him until the cops got there.
Aww.
And he spent the night in jail.
Come on, gay guys.
I know. They're not very radical. They're like all Republicans.
They love the state.
They might as well be. They really do, man. I hate it.
That's one weird thing, Michael. You know, being out in California, that's a huge difference from New Hampshire. There are many, you know, gun freedoms being one. But here's the other one that really irked me, which is trash freedom. I like being free from my trash. Like, I like once I want to dispose of something, I put it in the can. That can goes outside. That gets taken away to a dump. I don't ever have to think about it again. But in California, all of the trash cans are separated into three little parts, and you have to think compost, recycling, and there's some other one.
I can't believe you think you're going to have more freedom in San Francisco, man.
Yeah.
I tweeted tonight. I don't know if you saw it. It said, like, Derek J moves from New Hampshire to San Francisco for more freedom. Michael Dean moved from San Francisco to L.A. to Wyoming for more freedom. Therefore, Wyoming has more freedom than New Hampshire.
And I moved from California to Nevada for more freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So California, by the transitive property.
I mean, you can walk around in a frilly dress actually, you can't, man. Those gays are conservative as heck out there, and a lot of, I mean, like,
no way, man.
Parades and stuff for Saturday night, you can do it, but like, you know,
I was doing it
there, man.
I was doing it. I was walking down the street and nothing but a thong and a man on a leash.
If you have a gun there, you're going to jail.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
maybe if you don't leave your house with it, but if you ever leave your house with a gun, you're gonna, because the cops frisk people there too.
That is really concerning.
Yeah, where do you put your gun when you go out with a thong and a guy on a leash?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I have him carry it in his mouth.
You want to hear a dire statistic about San Francisco?
Yeah,
The AIDS drug AZT.
Yeah,
one third of the AZT in America that's sold in the whole nation is sold through that one drugstore at 18th and Castro.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yep. That Walgreens. Yep.
A third of... Wow. All right. Well, you know. Yikes. I guess
you better get ready for some monogamy, man.
Yeah. AIDS is going away anyway. The market's solving that problem. There's a drug that you can take called PrEP, which pretty much makes it impossible for you to get AIDS, recontract HIV.
Really?
Yeah, this is a new drug that I hear about when I go for HIV testing. They're like, oh yeah, get this drug. Everyone's got it now. And
there's a new drug. There's a new drug that cures Hep C, and it costs $80,000.
Whoa!
It's 80 pills, and they cost $1,000 each.
And then after 80, you're done?
You're done, yeah.
But you're alive.
You're alive. Yeah, well, think about, like...
Sounds like a bargain.
Man, yeah, well, it kind of is, because, you know, Hep C will slowly kill you over 20 or 30 years' time, generally. But
that's really interesting, because we hear from people who are, like, anti-market, that... The drug companies are only making stuff to cure symptoms, but not the actual disease itself.
No, they're curing the actual disease, but they're charging as much as like, you know, half a down payment. You know, you can buy a house for that a lot of places.
Yeah,
but you can't live in it if you are dying.
Right.
So you have to buy the pills first.
That's the FDA. Yeah. And the thing is, like, with Big Pharma, Big Pharma's evil. Big Pharma, like, they sell that same drug in India for, like, $600.
Mm-hmm. So just
where's the arbitrage on that? Can we get in on some kind of arbitrage?
Because they still make a profit at $600 in a lot of
people. Right, well, can't we... India. Why don't we just buy a bunch in India and then smuggle it into the United States? I'm sure that's happening, right?
I'm sure people are doing that, yeah. And in England, it's, like, half what it is in America. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, you don't think that has anything to do with, like, socialized medicine and
it
basically...
probably does, but the thing is, it's kind of like the Obamacare has kind of thrown that all out the window, because literally, like, with the pre-existing condition thing, like, you know, if you need that drug, you can get on, you can pay $600 a month for good health insurance, you know, for 6 months and get that drug free, basically.
Right, so what incentive does that drug company have to make it cheaper here? Zero.
I don't know.
But they also have a legal monopoly on it for some years, too, thanks to the FDA.
Yeah. So, Jim, back to the cult thing. Did the Fiends have something to do with something with that guy that was the cult deprogrammer or cult exit strategist?
To an extent. What happened was there was a guy... there was a guy who was who joined FDR and Stephen Hassan, the cult expert, had to do some information gathering in order to do that. And one of the videos that he came across was an ex-member who came out with a video on YouTube who was explaining his experience in FDR or Freedom Main Radio because of the interview that the Freedom Fiends did that's up on YouTube on my channel, the one with Greg and Colleen. So he listened to that, and then they got in touch and was talking, and I guess somehow he got a hold of Joe Rogan and then was on the show. So I guess that's the connection. It's a really loose connection, but it was kind of hard to explain in such a short time, but I did my best, and I guess I failed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that interview was absolutely fascinating with Stephen Hassan and Joe Rogan.
I'm trying to think
information about cults and specifically about Molyneux. So
I don't know if I've ever... I don't know. How loose are we being with the definition of cult here? Because wouldn't most... religions qualify?
No.
Why? Do they get a separate subsection?
I think a lot of it
has to do with how much they want to demand of your time, isn't it?
Yeah, and how much abuse they inflict. That's more important.
So the answer is criteria. Yes, Derek. Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
There's a criteria. We can get into it.
Size,
I don't want to.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's like, if you know what, if you're a petty criminal on the high seas, you're a pirate. You know, then you get a navy and you're a government. Same kind of thing.
Oh yeah, the military is a cult. That's a pretty big one.
Big religions are just really successful cults.
Worms.
Like, what about that Scientology one? I don't know about that.
Oh, fun.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is your property.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Redemption in the third act. Word. Hey, something funny happened over the weekend. You know, the whole, like, election, and people are trying to run for president, and there's this guy.
So square.
Yeah. there's this cute little old grandpa guy who wants your vote. And he got interrupted at his own rally. And I don't even know how to explain this story in a way that makes sense. I'm still trying to make sense. Okay, his name is Bernie Sanders.
Ew.
Yeah, and he I think calls himself a Democratic Socialist.
Ew.
I think he's a Nationalist Socialist. Or I don't know.
A Nazi.
Whatever.
And... so protesters from the Black Lives Matter movement stormed onto the stage where he was presenting in Seattle on Saturday, and they took over the microphone and they demanded that they be allowed to speak. And the presenter or the person who was like putting on the event got up there and was like, "Okay, you can speak. After Bernie's done, and that'll be like in 5 minutes, just let us finish." And these protesters were not satisfied with that. They needed to be given a microphone immediately and a stage and a captive audience.
Yeah, they needed a Kanye West moment, didn't they?
Yeah, I was just thinking, was that? Yeah.
They just weren't satisfied.
Bernie Sanders hates black people.
And they have happened to a nicer guy, though, right? You know.
Well, I loved it because the announcer guy who was in charge was trying to be like, "Let's be reasonable. We're trying to be reasonable here." And the protesters were like, "We're not trying to be reasonable. Like, we're angry." Like, okay, well,
no, I think they were screaming at the top of their lungs that they were reasonable, which was so ironic.
It's a great way to win people over. I'm sure it's very effective debating technique.
Yeah. Well, what's even more hilarious was once they were given the chance to speak, so like finally they cowtail to the demands. These people go up and speak, and then the audience gets bored. I mean, they speak for so long that Bernie just walks out. He just finally leaves and gives up. Like, "I'm not coming back to this stage. Goodbye, you win."
That sounds... I think he made the right call, right?
Well, yeah, you but know, the, he's, the best
well, first
part...
of all, he showed up being white. That was his first mistake, okay? Like, he's an old white dude, okay? Hey, we can't stand for that. No way.
It was
not going to happen.
It's funny.
You got to shut him down.
He's also like, it's good to be in a progressive city. Seattle's so progressive. And then, like, that's their cue. They're like, "Yeah, we are progressive. Let's show you how progressive we are."
Well, you know, I saw the same kind of attitude from people in the Occupy movement in Philly. And, like, the whole idea is of, I guess it's like, who's loudest is right. You know, it's like this mentality of, like, if I'm louder, I'm going to be right. And it's just shouting down. I'm like, how does this really even count for any kind of discourse? It's embarrassing. I mean, it's like, really? Come on.
That's why I'm not afraid of the left, because that's what happened during the Occupy movement. The left ate their own. And this is another example of the left eating their own, too. And this is the guy that probably best represents their position, and they're stopping his event. Great. Keep it up, guys. Keep the fighting going. I'm just going to sit back here and watch you guys eat yourself. Go ahead. Like an Ouroboros.
Well, hey, do you think they were like sponsored by the Hillary campaign? I mean, could be, right?
There has been some speculation, you know, but everyone's throwing that around. People are speculating that Trump is a Hillary plant, too.
Which,
you know, wouldn't that make sense?
They're all from the same club. Who cares, right?
I don't know. They
yuck about this stuff behind the scenes. Like, they laugh it up over champagne on the yachts. Who cares?
I don't know. I think Trump is the most entertaining of the people who are running.
So Bernie's pretty funny. So is that Chris Christie dude.
Oh, he's hilarious. Yeah, he's great.
Don't do marijuana. It's bad for you. Be right back. My triple cheeseburger's here.
People need to learn self-control. Marijuana must be illegal.
Worms. Hedonism bot.
Ate the hitch bot.
This has calmed the hamster in my brain.
The hamster in your Speedos.
Ooh.
Smuggling hamsters there, Derek.
You know me too well.
Can't believe you're moving to San Francisco, man.
I love it. I think it's great.
Freedom.
Worms.